आश्रय होई אשר לא הולך בצד רשעים ודרך חטאים לא ימות ומושב לצים לא ישב כי אם בתורת אדוני חפצו ובתורתו יגע יומם ולילה. והיה כעת שתול על פלגי מים, אשר פריו יתהן מתוב אליהו לא יבול, וכל אשר יעשה יצלי. לכן הרשועים כמקמות אשר תדפן רוח, על כן לא יקום רשועים במשפחות וחטאים בדת צדיקים, כי יודע אדוני דרך צדיקים ודרך רשעים תובעת.
I remember about 15 years ago, I was having a discussion with my Uncle Selden, and he posed a hypothetical question about a man, if he borrows a huge sum of money, let's say $1 million, is he considered a wealthy man? It's not his money. He's going to have to return it at due date. So is he considered a wealthy man? Brings to mind a question posed to the Duna Magid. Somebody had asked him that we celebrate Passover, which is a festival commemorating our freedom, and it's understood that at the time when the Jews were in Israel and were autonomous and had their own sovereignty and independence, it's understood that they used this time to commemorate this festival of freedom. But later when the Jews were exiled, and they are no longer under their own sovereignty, their own independence, what reason is there to celebrate this festival of freedom? The Duna Magid answered with a story about a poor man, poor honest man, uncultured, uneducated, who one day found a fabulous jewel. He took this jewel, sold it, took the huge sum of money that he received from it, invested it, and became a very wealthy man. He used the money to hire tutors. He educated himself, he received culture from it, and he did good deeds. And every day, every year, on the anniversary of the day that he found this jewel, he would make a celebration to commemorate this find which brought him to his wealth. As time passed, business went bad, he lost his money, and yet, on the day that he found the jewel, he once again took his meager sustenance that he had and once again celebrated the day that he had found the jewel. A close friend of his asked him, "How could you celebrate now? You don't have the wealth anymore." And he answered him, "It's true, if all I had gained from that jewel was monetary wealth, it's true, there would be nothing to celebrate. But before I found it, I was uneducated, uncultured, and now I'm educated, I'm cultured, I have something, I'm an infinitely richer man than I was originally." The Duna Magid explained that so too the Jewish people, while in Egypt, they were not yet a nation, they didn't have the Torah which taught them how to live, but after they left Egypt and gained their freedom, they received the Torah, and they became a nation. And even though they were dispersed, this gift they still have. This hypothetical case that I discussed with my uncle is similar. If the man took his loan and used it purely to speculate, he wouldn't have been enriched. But had he been wise and gained education, culture, good deeds, so then he truly is, even when he repays the loan, he truly is a wealthy man. In that sense, we are all borrowers. We're given life, and if we utilize it, we become wealthy. My uncle was such a man. He was an educator by profession, and to be the superb educator that he was, he was foremost a student of life. Whenever he saw something, he was interested by it. He desired to know what, why, and in so doing, enriched his life and enriched other people's lives with him. He wasn't an educator just for the profession to receive his livelihood. If he had been so, he would have left the inner city where he taught and taken more lucrative positions. But he remained as an educator in the inner city because he felt his moral obligation to enrich those who needed him the most. My uncle, through this characteristic of desiring knowledge, was able to delve into himself and bring forth courage to face a situation which, when he was first diagnosed, was, from what I understand, was given a prognosis of 6 months. And he took that courage and he fought and he gained another 2 to 3 years. His appreciation of life is something which is awe-inspiring, and it's something which we all should learn from. This appreciation of life is something that he gave over, I know, to me, and I'm sure to everyone who knew him also, and foremost to his family. We should learn from him and take this courage and appreciation of life and utilize it also that we should be wealthy. Chaim Shimon Alter ben Tzvi Nota Halevi was truly a wealthy man.
My Uncle Selden was, to me, an example of a caring and giving man. He was a man whose sense of humor helped me through some very hard times. He was so unselfish when it would have been so easy to be selfish, and he never let his long sickness diminish those qualities which I, with so much less pain, have in lesser supply. My uncle was like a second father to me, and I hope that I can face my own death with as much courage as did he. My uncle was one of the most courageous men that I have yet to meet, and I will miss him very, very much.
Very tough one on the air. היום קצר והמלאך אמרו בה והפועלים הצלים השכר הרבה ובעל הבית הוחק לא עליך המלאך הלגמור ולא אתה ואין חורים לבטל ממנה אם למדת תורה הרבה נותנים לך שכר הרבה ונאמן הוא בעל מלאכתך שישלם לך שכר פעולתך ודע שמתן שכרם של צדיקים לעתיד לבוא I read from Pirkei Avot and the 23rd Psalm. Pirkei Avot sets forth for us, in the words of Rabbi Tarfon, in the Ethics of the Fathers, a metaphor for life. It's given in the imagery of labor. But the context is to be understood, a time of great suffering for the Jewish people, a time when young people were being killed, when life wasn't worth very much in terms of years. And Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, all the rabbis of the time, sought to invest meaning into the life that was given. He says, Rabbi Tarfon said, the day is short, and there's so much work to be done. The laborers are sluggish, the reward is great, and the master is insistent. You're not obliged to complete the task, but neither are you free to desist from it. If you have studied, your reward will be commensurately great. Your employer is dependable. He will reward you for your labor. Know that the righteous will be rewarded in time to come. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He reviveth me. He guideth me in straight paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through a valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ve'ele shmot. Rashi omer af al pi shemena'an b'chayehen shmotan chazar mena'an b'mitatan lahodia chibatan shenimshalu lakochavim shemotzi'an machnisan b'misparu v'shmotan. Today, this week, Jewish people throughout the world begin the book of Exodus. We read about the redemption of the Jewish people. In the very first commentary of Rashi, questioning, and these are the names of the children of Israel, states, we've already heard the name. And the sons of Jacob are dead. Why do we have the names listed again now at the start of the story of Exodus? And he answers, even though God had counted them in their lifetime by name, he counted them once more at the time of their death to show how much he loved them. Just as we read in the book of Isaiah, they are compared to the stars in the sky, which God takes out and brings back by number and by name, one by one. We have counted and appreciated and loved Selden Takna, Reb Chaim Shimon Alter, Ben Reb Herschel Tzvi Nata Halevi, in his lifetime. It is right for us, made in God's image, to count the name and recall that great irreplaceable value of the life of Selden Takna as we take leave now of his earthly life. Those of us gathered here shared in that life. And if we mourn, it is because we have loved. If we grieve, it is because we were so beloved of him. It is for us to understand that this is the lot of all human beings. And if the years have been brief, the gift has been commensurately great. Selden was born in Detroit. He graduated Wayne in social studies, and as you have heard, he taught in the Detroit school system. History was his special passion. Learning and communicating
was the concern of his life. In the spirit of our tradition, Vishinantem Levanecha, as we recite in the Shema daily, you will teach it diligently to your children. The Torah of life was taught to his children and by extension to the world, which he took as his very close association. He was devoted to his students. When others gave up, he would work with and encourage, drill, and see to it that finals were passed, that exams were met and conquered. If he could influence in a positive way, he would. He used to joke, "I'll be the last Jew and the last white man in Detroit, but that's what I want to be. I want to help. I want to raise the level of education, of society." And he never waited to be asked. He was a second lieutenant in the United States Army Reserve. He served in every area of life. In the summer months, he drove a Greyhound bus. He would explore the history of an area when he arrived. He knew where the shul was in every community. His family would marvel at this knowledge when they traveled together. One time, Israelis were traveling on his bus. He befriended them, invited them to stay at his home, and later they met and renewed their friendship in Israel. They went to Israel at the time of his son Bobby's bar mitzvah. There, his love of his people and history was most palpable. Nancy and Susan, his daughters, remember the holding of hands and the surge of emotion as they were about to land. He read all the inscriptions. He stopped to absorb everything, and so with the world. Every experience was a learning experience. He took the time as a friend, as a brother, as a son, as a father, as a husband, to explain, especially in his Jewish identity. The first time he led a Seder, he read up, looked for courses to take so that he could do it as was fit. He had gone to yeshiva as a child, but he felt an inadequacy. And the influence had remained from his early education. I remember his coming to see me. He was very ill already, and he was exploring education possibilities, Jewish education possibilities, for his children. He had difficulty talking. We would stop, and he would apologize, and I would say, "Selden, take your time." But it was important for him, with his last life's breath, to be able to see to it that there would be a continuity, that there would be an ongoingness. He was deeply conscious of family. As a newlywed, he continued to be solicitous of an enfeebled grandmother. As we've said, he was loving as a brother. He was a good son, a considerate son-in-law, a surrogate father, we have heard the testimony, and dear friend to his family. There was a bonding that can be palpably perceived in this family. And Selden remained that great bonding influence. He was a most devoted father. He set standards, urged toward goals, yet marvelously combined this with an absence of harsh criticism. He was a wonderful father. In his last conversation with his daughters, he said, "Promise me you'll rear a Jewish household." That was his concern. And above all, there was his Deanna. For 22 years of marriage, for 7 years before that of dating, their whole life has been together. She was always there, his bulwark, and a beautiful, great love developed and grew in life. Selden was possessed of an intense honesty, sometimes the subject of family jokes. He didn't know how to be dishonest. The kindness, which was a natural part of his being, was something that the family and friends wondered at. And I think he might have said with the poet, "For me to have made one soul the better for my birth, to have added but one flower to the garden of the earth, to have struck one blow for truth in the daily fight with lies, to have done one deed of right in the face of calumnies, to have sown in the souls of men one thought that will not die, to have been a link in the chain of life, shall be immortality. And he had a terrible strength, a wondrous, marvelous strength. He fought the disease. He defeated the statistics. He filled his days with meaning, as the psalmist pleads, Limnot Yamenu Kein Hoda, Benavi Levav Chochma. Teach us to use all our days, that we may attain a heart of wisdom. He worked hard, but he knew enjoyment. If there was a little leisure, little time for organizations, if there was little time for those things, there was great investment in loved ones. He inspired strangers. He had the capacity for developing strong, lasting friendships. He taught us a lesson. He was a teacher. The whole subject matter this afternoon here has been teaching and learning. He only attained 45 years. 45 in Hebrew is mem hey, it spells ma. What? We could ask, what is the meaning of all this? Why the brevity? But I think that if we truly look into that life, we see the meaning that comes out. We perceive the blessings that he perceived. We understand how very much more fortunate we have been to have had Selden as part of our lives. He was, as those closest to him said, a gute neshama. And now he is a neshama. Now he is a soul. That earthly life is over. We are taught in our tradition, b'zchut habanim avoteihem mitkavim, in the acts of those who go after are those before us truly honored. That each of us then recall that good from the life of Selden Tacna. Take it to ourselves. Make it part of an ongoing, vital life, so that of him it will truly be said in time to come, Zichrono Livracha, may he be remembered for blessing. Amen. We rise for the mole.
Eil mulero fami shulchena vamaromi ham tseme noch noch no ta כנפי השינו במעלות קדושים וטהורים כזוהר הרוקיע מזהירים את נשמת רב חיים שמעון אלתר ברב צבי נותה הלוי שהולך לעולמו ויעבור שאותו ואשתו ובנותו וכל בני משפחתו נודפים צדקו בדליית נשמתו וגני תנתי מלכותו לוחין בלו רחמים יסתירהו בשאת כנפו לעולמים ויצרור בצרור החיים את נשמתו, אדוני הוא נחלתו, וינוח בשלום על משכבו, ונאמר אמן.
Interment will be at Pesach Shalemet Cemetery, Hebrew Memorial Park. The Shiva will be observed in the home of the family, 5327 Old Pond Way, West Bloomfield. Services throughout the Shiva, with services this evening, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, Thursday, and Monday mornings at 7:30, and Sunday morning at 8:30. It is suggested that those who wish to honor the memory of Selden Tacna may do so by contributions to the Cancer Research Program, care of the Department of Development, Providence Hospital, to the Hillel Day School, or to the Building Fund of the Lubavitcher Center, Beis Chabad of West Bloomfield.
Ezri me'im Aronai, Ose Shomayim va'aretz. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hinei lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Arvai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcho al yad yeminecho, yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka v'yarech ba'layla, Adonai yishmorcho mikol ro yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzeitcha uvo'echa, me'ata v'yad olam.
I read the words of the 121st Psalm. The psalm seems to have been written by a worshiper on his way to the Beit HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem. And he loses his way. He looks for something in the topography of Israel to orient him, to put him back on the path so that he can reach his destination. We can understand this psalm existentially. All of us lose our way in life at some time, in times of trouble. What is it that can put us back on the path? The psalmist has an answer. I will lift my eyes to the mountains. What is the source of my help? The source of my help is the Lord, creator of heaven and earth. He will not let you falter. Your guardian does not slumber. Surely he watching over Israel slumbers not nor sleeps. He is at your right hand to protect you. The Lord your keeper gives shelter. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night, but the Lord will guard you from all harm. The Lord will preserve your soul. He will guard your going and coming from this time forth and forever. Dear friends, we gather this morning to unveil a stone in memory of Selden Allen Chaim Shimon Alte Berev Tzvi Nata Halevi Tacna. Your ancestors and mine never gathered for such a ceremony. Indeed, it seems to go against everything in Judaism. For what can more symbolize materialism than a stone? In a few weeks, we will celebrate the holiday of Sukkot, and we will go out of our homes of stone and mortar into a hut where we feel the wind go through us and say as Jews that materialism doesn't mean anything. And so we are not here really to unveil a stone. If we're here for that, we're here for the wrong reason as Jews. But Jews have always been able to take the symbolic value and to give it meaning in their lives. Thus, we are taught, Nishkach milev kamet, that the only person who is considered dead is the person who is forgotten in the heart. But Nishmat Chayahu Shmo, but the living essence of a person, that which goes on, is in the reputation, in the name, in the memory we preserve. And so we are not here this morning to unveil a stone. We are here to unveil our hearts to the considerable good from the life of Selden Tacna that we wish to preserve. That life that was dedicated to communicating. The Jewish process is a way of, has a way of bringing the mourner back to life. And just as it is wrong never to mourn, it is wrong in Judaism to mourn continually. One must make the effort to come back. And so the process is set for us. For 7 days, Shiva means seven, it doesn't mean three. For 7 days, the family sits together. They recall the memories. They recall their own togetherness as children and as the values that were inculcated by the one that is gone. Friends and relatives come in and provide for the mourner. He sees that he's not alone. And as he shakes hands with each person, he remembers that the lot of all human beings is to be bereaved. At the end of 7 days, the mourner goes out of the home. He takes a walk around the block. Symbolically, he's saying, I'm going back out into the world. I'm going to try to make my peace with the world. For 30 days, for the Shloshim, the torn ribbon is worn. Your ancestors and mine didn't tear a ribbon. They ripped their clothing. And at the end of 30 days, they didn't throw away the dress or the jacket. They couldn't afford to. They sewed up the rent. Where you sew up a rip, you can see where it has occurred. And the mourner is saying again, symbolically, my heart is torn. It will never again be the same. But just as I've sewed up this garment, scar tissue is forming over my heart. And if I don't aggravate the wound, if I find consolation with my loved ones, I can go on in life. For 11 months, Kaddish is recited. And then we don't, God forbid, forget. But there is Yizkor. God remembers and we remember. On Pesach, on Shavuot, on Sukkot, on Yom Kippur, on the Yahrzeit, and of course every day of our lives as we recall the good from the life that is gone. It is with this in mind that we symbolically unveil this stone as we unveil our hearts to Selden's memory. Loving memory of Selden Allen Tacna, beloved husband and father, April 7th, 1937, January 2nd, 1983, Chaim Shimon Alter, Berev Tzvi Nata HaLevi, Yudchet Teve Tashmag, Te Nishmato Tzura B'Tzror HaChayim, may his soul be bound out, bound up in the bond of life. El Malei Rachamim, Shofein Bamromim, Habetzei menucha nechona tachat kanfei ashchino B'malot kedoshim utehorim Kezohar hakiyah mazhirim Et nishmat rav chaim shimon alter b'rev tzvi nata halevi Shehalach li'olamo began eden tehei menuchato Panabara rachamim hastirehu B'seiter knofecha li'olamim U'tzror b'tzror achayim et nishmato Aronai hu nachalato V'yanuach v'shalom al mishkavo V'lomar amen. God exalted and full of compassion, grant perfect peace in your sheltering presence among the holy and pure, for the soul of Selden Allen Chaim Shimon Alter, but of Tzvi Nata HaLevi Tacna, who has gone to his eternal home. Master of mercy, we beseech you, help us remember all the worthy and righteous deeds that he performed in the land of the living. May his soul be bound up in the bond of life. The Lord is his portion. May he rest in peace. Let us say, Amen. Want to say Kaddish. Yitadol v'yitadash shmei rabba V'yomar divra hirutei v'yamlich malchutei
Adonai Yishmor Tzeitenu Uvoenu L'chayimu L'shalom Me'ata V'ad Olam. May God guard our going out and our coming back into life, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us all say, Amen.